Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Toothache?
Yes.
Throbbing pain?
Yes.
Excruciating ache?
Yes, I've just said yes.
Then you need the Gary O'Neill Dentistry Service, where Gary will personally headbutt your teeth out. Using his unique forehead technology, Mr. O'Neill will give you little warning before he removes your teeth violently from your mouth.
But won't he cut his head open?
That doesn't matter, because he'll put on a big boy's bandage and spend the next 20 minutes misplacing passes due to his severe concussion. Gary's unique method of tooth extraction is not pain-free, safe, or recommended by anyone, including himself.
I think my wisdom tooth is coming through.
Nut him in the tooth.
Could you tell me about your whitening services, please?
Nut her in the tooth.
Excuse me, mate, you couldn't tell me how to get to the...
Nut him in the tooth. The Gary O'Neill Dentistry Service is quick, painful, and quick. Don't believe us? Then listen to this guy.
Hello, my name is Ewan Robert, and I support the Gary O'Neill Dentistry Service. He did wonders for me.
Or maybe this guy.
Hello there, I'm Robbie Brady. Thanks to the Gary O'Neill Dentistry Service, I'm going to the Yarrows with no freaking teeth.
There we have it. If you're not fully satisfied with Gary's service, there's not much we can do, really. It's quite permanent. Quite permanent. The Gary O'Neill Dentistry Service. Remember, the tooth hurts.
Please note the Gary O'Neill Dentistry Service is not endorsed by Ewan Roberts or Robbie Brady in any connections with Blue Coincidental. Hello and welcome to the 24th ever episode of the Little Yellow Bird Podcast. My name is John.
Oh, yeah.
And this is Dan
Brigham,
who's with me, who's going to talk about Norwich City with me. So what have we got on today's podcast, Dan?
Well, I mean, last week we had a very special interview with Dovek McNally, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, I remember now.
That, which went really well.
That yeah, was
good fun. People seem to like that. Thank you to everyone who may have listened. This week, though, we don't have that.
Oh.
But we do have us doing some knob jokes. But we've got our regulars as well. We've got Home and Away, haven't we, John?
We've got Home and Away. We've also got Jack Reeve. Really interesting. Conversation with him about all things Talk Norwich City. And we've also got the amazing Dan versus John and your tweets that you kindly sent in, which we ask a question, you answer it. It's always the same question, but people still answer it
and
with hilarious results.
We do a little top 10 of that, don't we?
Do a top 10 and everyone goes, oh, that was really good. My name was mentioned. So the first thing we're going to do is talk about Home and Away.
Yes.
Norwich City games at Carrow Road, and somewhere that's not Norwich, home and away, we'll have a say.
So, we've had like a home and an away, so we can join it into one.
God. We have.
We played Leicester.
Yeah.
We lost. We played Chelsea. We lost. But in between that, we all held each other and wished for the season to end.
Well, not now, because we'd get you down, wouldn't we?
Oh,
now
yeah.
We've dropped
into the relegation three.
It was not really a drop because it's on goal difference. It's more of a kind of little stumble, isn't it?
A stumble into the bottom three. So, Leicester game. We did all right, didn't we?
Yes, we did. Well, we did very well for the most part. The new five at the back, or three at the back, really, worked very well. Russell Martin looked like a the best sweep we've had since Ian Colfax, or the only sweep we've had since Stephen Cole.
Stephen Cole? Yeah, the Ian best Cole. Sweeper since Stephen Cole.
You know,
that's
Stephen
a sort
Cole.
Of interesting insight you're going to get a little bit on the podcast. We make players up.
Yeah, it went well, though.
We
didn't go well because we lost, but it was encouraging. The players seemed to be very much up for the fight, which they showed against West Ham prior to that as well. After the Villa, you know, horror show of a performance, it's good that players look comfortable in the new system and look up for the fight as well. They're not just rolling over like the Villa players are.
I think the biggest problem out of the two games, we didn't create any chances whatsoever. Can't think of a single chance we had.
No, not at all. No, we didn't miss any sitters, did we?
No, I can't think of any.
Nothing happened like that. We haven't missed any sitters all season, really, have we?
I don't think so.
No.
Grabbin, though. Bloody idiot he is.
Yeah.
Oh, don't get started on Grabbin.
Oh, no. Yeah. Thank God we got rid of him, because since we got rid of him, the goals have been flying in from us strikers, haven't they?
I think it's flooding rather than flying.
Yeah.
But what the thing is about football, is that why can't it go well for us?
Yeah, that seems unfair, doesn't it?
It's not fair.
Because against Leicester, well, to be fair, the referee wasn't poor against Leicester at all. We can't blame the referee. We can only blame our poor finishing, Cameron Jerome's poor finishing, and Ryan Bennett inexplicably not sticking his left foot out to clear the ball when it's Robbie Brady's let the cross come in,
yeah.
Which just seems, it's one of those little brain fart moments. You know, well, maybe like a dream when you're desperately trying to, you know, put your leg forward or trying to throw a punch if you're in a fight in your dream, and it just doesn't happen, and you're thinking, why isn't this happening? And I just imagine Bennett's had that thing in the centre, in the 6-yard box. Why isn't my left leg sticking out right now? I should be sticking my left leg out right now. Oh God, the ball's past me, and we've just lost the game. I can't. Why doesn't he stick his leg out?
That's the weirdest rant I've ever heard in my life. Because you're in a dream and you're in a fight, and you're punching people. And
it's like when you can't control what your limbs are doing in a dream. You must have had that.
Yeah,
yeah. And it's like he couldn't control his left leg. His brain is probably saying, "Go on. God, just kick the ball away. Oh God, the ball's gone past now. I can't kick it away now."
I think he should have kicked it really hard against the bar. It'd have
we could have gone out the other end.
Yeah. Cameron Jerome.
Yeah.
And he'd have missed.
Yeah, he'd have put it
0-0. So that's a good result. 0-0. But then along come Chelsea. Mm. You've got to keep it tight at the beginning. Literally. Are you on this road? Yeah, I'm sorry. I'll sit down. Oh, there's a goal in.
Yeah.
That's what happened in the first three
people
minutes.
People laughed. People laughed around
Did
me.
They
were just like, oh, wow. I mean, that's just the most Norwich thing to have happened. I mean, Spurs, it was, a few minutes? 39 seconds, this was.
39. Yeah. What can you do in 39 seconds?
And Alex, you can...
You can nearly count to 40.
Yes, you can.
And you can...
You can get past 38
exactly.
If you count
so
it as well.
They're the things you can do in 39 seconds.
Yeah. You can run the 200, 400 metres if you're really quick. And if you can run the 200 metres if you're really slow.
400? All the way round?
No, you probably couldn't do that, could you? No.
Take 10 seconds to do 100. So what's that?
40 seconds.
Oh,
then. Yeah, that was funny though, wasn't it? We've got five at the back. We've got two holding midfielders, and we left back score. It's great.
So what you're saying Bennett is we need a holding right winger.
yeah. Just everyone just hold their positions. Yeah. But apart from that, we played pretty well again. Chelsea sat back a bit, obviously, and invited a bit of pressure on, which is fine. But we created chances again. But I don't think anyone in particular missed them, did they, John? No one in particular stood out for missing their chances.
I can't think of anyone missing a chance. Grappin doesn't play for us anymore.
No,
so.
Can't think who it was.
Never mind. But I haven't seen it back yet. I still think it was behind him. He had to hook round.
The
he
volley.
Scored.
The volley issue.
It was right behind him.
I haven't seen it back.
He swiveled his body like a swiveller.
I know. It was down. I was in the Barclays, so down the other end. But... Mm. It looked like he had a lot more time than he had as well.
I don't think he was in the 6-yard box.
There was no one around him, though. He was completely free. And then the chance, he had such a shithouse of an opening. First 5 minutes, he had that header that looped just over.
I like that.
Which was a tricky, it wasn't an easy chance, half chance. Then he had the pass that he put too far in front of Wes, who had broken through. So an easy 10-yard pass into his, it would have been clean through.
Easy.
And then Johnny Howson has the shot from outside the area, which is on target, hits Cameron Jerome, goes out for a goal kick.
Did it?
Yeah, for all happened in the first sort of 6 or 7 minutes.
And look, there was another chance, bastard. I don't know who did it, but there was a shot, and Cameron Jerome seemed to get like a deflection on it. But it actually deflected it into the goalkeeper's hands, who was going to the far post.
Second half.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes.
Went,
I remember
why
that.
Why can't that just go off the inside I the know,
yeah.
post.
Yeah, that's like sort of those bits of luck you miss, isn't it? And like Redmond's shot against Leicester just going wide. O'Neill's shot yesterday when it was 2-1, that just went wide from the deflection. Those little bits of...
We got no points, but I think we deserved 4 at the last two games.
Yeah, maybe. I don't think we deserved anything from Leicester in the end because it was all down to us, you know, the lack of quality. Whereas you can put the blame a bit on the linesman, allowing a lot on the line. So we should have got a point from that because Costa was offside, perhaps. But as Neil says, it's a lack of cutting edge and quality, isn't it? That's cost us, really.
I know.
But we have played encouragingly well in the last three games, though. But we need to take that into... We'll talk about Swansea later, but we need to take that into Swansea, obviously. Yeah. And not do what we did when we were talking about, we'll go to Villa, turn them over easy. Yeah. And people sort of put in so much pressure on this Swansea game. Swansea have been okay since Goodison came in. They're playing tonight while we're recording this podcast. So, yeah.
I'm sad now.
Yes, we'll talk about Swansea later and who should play up front and all that stuff. But should we move on now?
I think we should move on.
Apart from Alex Tetti, let's hope he's all right because poor old Tetti, he's probably been one of our top three players all season, hasn't he?
Well, he's not.
And the other thing, sorry to interrupt, I've been waiting all season for Howson and Tetti to form that central midfield partnership. They do it last couple of games, look really terrific there, and Tetti might be out for the season.
And he won't be able to go to the Euros now.
Norway didn't qualify, did he?
No, he had tickets. He couldn't get any, you know, disabled. It's dreadful over in that way.
Is that is that right?
You actually put the punchline for me. Yeah. So, we had an interview with little Jack Reeve.
We did, didn't we?
Lovely chat. We met him a few times. We did his videos. And we just wanted to ask him a few questions. Mock him slightly. Hmm. Poke him. Make him feel happy. Make him feel sad. And this is what we got from it. So, this is our interview with Jack. Hello. And we have the Talk Norwich City presenter and owner. Do you like that?
That's brilliant, yeah. It makes me sound all official.
Jim Reeve! How are you, Jim?
I'm fantastic, thanks, Jack.
Nice. What's your name going to be, Dan?
Revo.
Nice.
Oh, this is getting very confusing now.
Is it? Yeah. So, let's talk about what you do. What do you do?
I try and make videos from Norwich to try and keep me sane and keep me talking rather than going into a dark corner and crying after every game.
Oh my God.
So is this some sort of self-help sort of therapy then to get you through?
I suppose
the tough
it
times.
Is. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, basically a YouTube channel which takes football slightly more serious than you guys do.
Oh God, this has gone for a turn for the worst already.
Yeah, it's quite interesting though, because some people go to say the Pinkin Forum or they go to Roth and they vent on there, or they just go home and vent to themselves. But is your way of venting sort of just putting your face on a camera and yapping away in a professional manner, obviously?
I think the reason I started it was because all of my friends were getting bored of me talking about it to them, so I just thought I'd talk about it to a camera, and that can't really give me abuse then. So.
Yep. Do you get much abuse on YouTube and stuff like that on the comments?
If anyone wants to check out my, here's a little plug, the Liverpool 5-4.
Oh, you're breaking up, mate. I'm sorry, you're breaking up. I'm joking. Sorry.
So the Liverpool game.
Go to the top comment on there.
Okay.
And just read that. It's not about me. It's about Chris, but it is very amusing, and it has something like 200 thumbs up.
And Chris is for the uninitiated.
Yeah, Chris is the person who helps me. We're not related. We do have the same surname.
Okay.
So yeah, that's how that works.
Wouldn't it be amazing if you found out that you were related?
I'm not sure amazing would be the right word.
I'd love to watch that video.
From sort of following you on Twitter, you seem like you've done quite a lot of interesting stuff in terms of worked with other fans on sort of fan cast things and things like that. I mean, who are the sort of good people you've met and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think everyone who I've sort of met, including yourselves, have been very supportive. I've got to know Simon Thomas quite well and Jake Humphrey, who are obviously big time in the sort of sports presenting industry, so that's good. And all of the other fans as well, who fan channels on YouTube are certainly starting to kick off. Obviously Arsenal Fan TV is probably the most well-known one for their fan meltdowns and such, and Piers Morgan sort of picked up on that. The mainstream media is starting to pick up on these fan channels, because I think, as you guys know, people don't really want to go to the newspapers anymore for their opinions. They want real fans speaking about things, and I think that's where the value lies, really.
Yeah. I mean, Is there a danger? And you know, sorry to get serious on this, not particularly serious, but you mentioned the Arsenal one. I mean, you don't do this, but the Arsenal one do seem to do sort of a version of clickbaity shit where they generally get people to scream and shout and vent annoying opinions because they know that brings in the hits.
I know Robbie really well, actually, the guy who presents it, and that is all of the stuff on there. It might look dramatized, but they're actual, like, real characters. None of that scripted or anything.
You say characters, you mean dickheads, right? Mostly.
Well, however you want to support your football club, but they're all just very contrasting people. You've got Mo, who's a really great, intelligent person about finance and everything. Then you've got Claude, who just seems to be down about everything. Ty, who's ridiculously optimistic. And all of these characters, because they're so contrasting, kind of clash. And I think that's where they found their success. And at the end of the day, it's his full-time job as well. So he needs to be getting to pay the bills.
We need to start paying the bills, don't we? We've got lots of bills to pay.
I've seen your Patreon account. You're making big money nowadays.
Cha-ching.
Are you a little jealous of our Patreon account, Jack?
I am jealous. It's gone very well and you deserve it as well.
Thank you very much.
Damn it. He's just too nice.
I was a big fan of the McNally interview. How you got that, I'll never know.
We told you how we got it.
Yeah, we did. We have literally told you. Yeah.
Heroin and cuddles.
Not necessarily in that order, though. You mentioned you worked with Jake Humphrey and Simon Thomas. Yep. Who's your favourite, Jack?
Oh, are we trying to create enemies here now?
No,
I am.
Well, I've spoken to and spent more time with Simon, so I'd probably say Simon. But Jake's a good
Jack
guy.
Reeve. This is Jake Humphrey.
Well, I'm more interested.
That in the mirror as well.
BBC presenter talks to young chap online a bit.
Why did I agree to this?
It's good. So let's talk about the last 24 hours because it's gone. You know what I'm going to be talking about right now. The last 24 hours, the man in the middle, the center of all the kind of the talk about. You know who I'm talking about, don't you?
I'm going to say the referee, but I know it's not because that's not the way you work.
Adam Johnson. So I am talking about the referee. So it was a weird game, wasn't it? I said to the chap next to me, I think Cameron Jerome got a touch on. That's why the pass back. But the fact he wasn't looking at the game kind of set the level for his performance, I found. What did you think?
I think the pass back, I sit front row of the Barclay and I was literally right there when the pass back happened. To me, it didn't look like it. I think if you're going to say it touched it touched Jerome, you'd need about 17 slow-mo replays to see the touch. For me, that was the wrong decision. The offside was absolute. I could see that from where I was. Everyone could.
No,
that
you
was,
couldn't.
Oh, I genuinely could see it.
That's a lie.
It was like 2 yards offside, John.
I know it was offside, but you couldn't see it from where you were sitting. That's a lie.
I mean, he's the wrong side.
Why are you lying to us?
I'm just trying to make this sound better.
That's good. Keep going.
What was I going to say? And of course, I just put on Twitter, actually, about the Willian thing.
The Willy what?
The Willian head injury fake thing.
Yeah.
And that wasn't great either. But it was just very frustrating because, well, Cameron Jerome's finish was even more frustrating, or not finish.
It was behind him.
What, the volley?
I don't care. Yeah. Just fall into it or something. Just don't do what he done.
He also had more time as well.
I haven't seen the replay, I will say, but I remember seeing.
I haven't actually, but it seemed like he had all the time in the world.
It did look like it was behind him a little bit, and he had to like hook his leg around it. Hit the bar though, that's good.
That's closer. It's getting closer.
Yeah, I suppose he's getting there. Roof of the net next game.
Well, he did that with a header, didn't he? Oh no, the right side of the roof of the net. Yeah. Not the wrong side of the roof of the net. So when you're watching, you know, and you're filming stuff, which you do at every game for your match day experiences, do you ever feel like you may be sort of missing out because you know you've got to immediately do something straight to camera? Do you ever just think, oh, you know, fuck that, I just want to go to a game without having to film stuff?
Yeah, I think sometimes that's the case. It is always tough, you know, knowing that you've got to get content. Sometimes I just want to go to the game and not really make content. But the I suppose the counter to that is in 2, 3, 4 years' time, I can go and look back and what happened on my match day and see what sort of friends I was spending time with and stuff. So, yes. And it's always harder as well. I think one of the toughest times for me to make content was under Chris Hughton when there was literally nothing exciting happening.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you guys find it as well, maybe not so much because you're sort of doing articles and podcasts, but when you're trying to find content in the week and...
Oh, God. Nothing, you are joking.
You're overestimating
us. Yeah, you are, really.
But yeah, it is sometimes a bit of a pain, but there are a lot more positives than negatives, that's for sure.
You're a star. Thank you very much. I'm going to leave it there.
Actually, perfect. Let's get your prediction for the season, maybe. Actually, are we staying up, Jack? Genuinely.
Of course we're staying up. Yeah, we are staying up.
Yep.
Yeah. Definitely.
Okay. Who's going down?
Swansea, Sunderland and Villa.
And your player of the season is?
Johnny Howson.
Good man.
Second player of the season is?
Gary O'Neill, solely for last night.
And third player of the season is?
Robbie Brady.
Thank God for that. Right, good man. Speak to you soon, mate.
Cheers.
Lovely, cheers.
Bye.
Have a good evening.
Have a lovely evening, he says. Talking of lovely evenings, it's not a lovely evening tonight.
We should say where to go.
What?
Talk Norwich City.
Oh, yeah, because of... Do follow Jack on Twitter and on YouTube and on Instagram.
He's at Talk Norwich City on the Twitter, isn't he? And
you can he's find on him Talk on Norwich on everything. That's
you
what I was about to say.
Google it, yeah, and it'll just come up with his... He's got a media empire.
Just put the word T in, his face will come up.
Although, if it did
and
sound
also
like,
Mr. T's face will come up.
If it did sound like that recording was done with him in the bath, it's because he was in the bath.
He was in the bath.
He never rests.
Splosh. Never rests. So, we ask people to send us some tweets to represent the game with a title of either a film or a song.
It was a film this time.
This week.
Oh, have I ruined something?
You have.
What have I ruined?
That's the fourth time you've done that, right?
This sounds like...
Fucking tweets, all right? Go on, do your tweets. Da, 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 da,
so, yeah, we asked if... Da, no, da, I want to hear your joke now.
No, it's good.
No, I'll do a pretend laugh.
No.
No, go on. Go on. What was your joke?
You touch yourself at night.
That wasn't a joke.
I'm saying you touch yourself at night.
Okay. Dun, 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 so dun, we asked dun, dun, dun. If the defeat to Chelsea was a film, which film would it be?
This is my entry.
Yep.
Scream 3.
Why the third one?
Because it was shit.
Well, that genuinely made me laugh. someone did actually say Scream, but it didn't get to the top 10. Thank you to everyone who's entered. There were loads of entries this time.
Did
and
they really?
It was quite a high standard. Quite a high standard. A terrifically high standard.
We take it in turns to do these.
Sort of.
Never. But I never actually, I don't purposely do not look at them, so I want to be laughed.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
My general opinion of them is instant okay. Genuine opinion, or as I like to call it, ingo.
Instapinion.
Oh my God, I'm like that.
Ooh, that sounds like a terrible buzzword, doesn't it, that we've just invented.
What's your instapinion on this, guys?
So, number 10, it comes from Seb Ward at Seb_Ward, who has just started writing for the Little Yellow Bird Project. His piece is on our website.
His what? Is on Pete? What?
Yeah.
Go.
He's gone for Inglourious Basterds, which is his general thoughts about Chelsea. It's just true because they were diving everywhere, rolling over the fans of pricks, that kind of stuff. They're all a bunch of Inglourious Basterds.
He did a swear word.
He did,
never
yeah.
Writing for us ever again.
At number 9, Colin Anderson at CDA 1982. Ooh, born the same year as us.
Colal, yeah.
Says, Linesman's Eyes Wide Shut.
Oh, I like that one.
Well done, Colin, because nice. The linesman buggered up with the offside decision.
That's a filthy movie, that
I should say. A couple of people did come up with Offside, which is an Iranian film, but that clearly involved Googling, which is cheating.
Cheating.
So you haven't gone to the top 10.
So we know that Colin likes a dirty movie.
I've not seen Eyes Wide Shut, actually. I've heard it's a bit filthy.
I saw boobies in it.
Number 8, Anne Willis.
Who's Annalise?
Number 8, Alex at Hardy356 at Back Pass to the Future.
Oh, I like that.
Referencing the Back Pass that wasn't.
I like that. Well done, you.
Good work, Alex. Number 7, Richard at Twitchit, who is another one of our writers at the Little Yellow Bird Project, says Referee Willy, Free Willy, because the referee was a massive cock, Willy, he says. Which is accurate.
This is quite a sweary one today.
Oh, you, the top two.
Oh, God. Yeah. So there you are, guys. That's if you want to get into the top 10, just put a swear word, anything.
It gets quite dark, actually. But number 6, Matt Warman at Matt Warman, Scanners. The David Copperberg film because that's of Gary No-Neil's exploding head.
Copperberg?
Where is it? Copenhagen?
That's it, Copenhagen.
Yeah. Scanners, because there's an exploding head in that, and Gary O'Neill's head exploded as
it
well.
It did. Mm. Good one. Well done.
Yeah. Number 5, Gary Bales at Gary D. Bales, who works for BBC Radio 6 Music.
Cool.
Says the Hobbit films, no matter how much you will it, they just won't finish. I think that might be a Cameron Jerome reference.
Oh,
there.
He's not short though, is he? Although he has very hairy feet.
Gary Bales or Cameron Jerome?
Both.
Yes. Maybe that's why he's poor at finishing. Maybe his hair keeps entangling together.
I don't think they're actually boots.
No, those aren't laces you're seeing. Those are his big hairy feet. Number 4, Matt Barton at Matt Barton. Walk the linesman to the edge of a cliff and push him off. Staggeringly violent,
that's murder.
Yeah, it's a good one, though. Number 3, Sam Langan at Samuel Langan. JFK, a shot involving Kennedy sets the tone.
Oh!
Good thinking, Sam Langan.
That's great.
I like that.
Well done.
Probably should be number 1.
That should be number 1.
Number 2 and 1 are quite dark and sweary.
Okay, Sam, if you're listening, I'm going to put you number 1.
We haven't heard number 2 and 1 yet. Actually, I've read out number 2.
Both. One's got an F word, one's got a C word. Rubbish.
So Clive Johnson at JD Bloke 2.
Yep.
The ref a cunt. A gory mauling and a bloody struggle against impossible odds, which is The Revenant.
Revenant.
It made me laugh for a good 5 minutes, that one, earlier. Okay. Yeah. Well done, Clive Johnson.
Well done, Clive.
Yes, where are we?
Derek and Clive.
Yeah. Number 1.
Number 1.
Ben Seeger at DIGSB has gone for The Road. The Cormac McCarthy book turned into a movie because... no matter how good you are or how hard you try, it doesn't fucking matter because everything is fucked. Which pretty much sums up the mood
that's
right now.
That's number 1.
Yeah, it's good.
Over the JFK one.
Got lots of likes as well. Maybe over JFK should have been 1. But, you know, JFK, the mood took me.
You're number 1. Mm. Sam, you're number 1 in my
eyes.
No,
Ben is number 1 because I picked
Sam
it. Well done to everyone. You're all winners. Apart from those who didn't get to the top 10. You're all losers. But thanks for
we don't like losers,
part.
Do we? Not around here.
No.
So
that's why we support
that was good. Knowledge. Thanks very much for doing that. If you haven't done it before and you're listening, join in.
Yeah.
You think, oh, they might not read me out. They might say something rude about me. We're going to say something rude about you. Just put it in anyway.
Righto. What's next, John?
Well, I know what we could do.
Mm-hmm.
We could do John versus Dan.
Yeah, let's do that.
Who cares?
Who cares? I know who cares, Dan. Everyone cares because...
Keep going.
So what's the score? So we do a Dan versus John quiz every week, in case you're new to this. We've done it all season, and the score is something like John's winning. 17. But we don't want to talk about how many points he's winning.
I think we're level, because you won last week, didn't you?
The week before.
Yeah.
Oh, before
I would say
before
the score's
David
level at 10 each. It's 24, so it's 12 all.
I think you're winning. You're being generous.
I know I am.
Okay, so this week's quiz. It's multiple choice as well.
Oh, I like them. That. I always like to guess and get them right, and you get angry.
So, on the theme of relegation, sorry. Oh. I've gone the last 6 relegations.
Oh.
Yeah, and I'm going to go through them all. I want to know our top scorer that season. Multiple choice. So, going in reverse chronological order, 2014. Who was the top scorer? Was it A, Hooper, B, Snodgrass, C, that fella who married a horse on Jerry Springer?
Now I know Snodgrass scored a few. And I know that Hugh Pooper scored a few. I'm going to go for the Horseman. I'm going to go for Hooper.
Correct. There's six. You've got to go 5 out of 6.
Fuck off.
It's multiple choice.
Yeah, but so what? Oh, it's 50-50 because you got hilarious.
Yeah, exactly.
You got hilarious.
So,
you took my advice.
Did I?
Putting hilarious third answers in.
Oh, you haven't heard the rest yet. No. 2008-09 before that.
Yeah.
When we were relegated to League One.
Yeah.
A, Daryl Russell. B, Leroy Lita. C, that one from Happy Days who's now a famous Hollywood director.
That's hilarious. I'm going to go for Leroy Lita.
Correct. 2 out of 2 so far from John Rogers.
Loopy Loopy. Remember Loopy Loopy?
Mm.
He was rubbish.
He was fun though, wasn't he?
Loopy Loopy. Mm. I remember watching the game that Rhoda got sacked. Oh. Carl Court pulled us apart. Who was he playing for us? I don't think he did. No, that's how
we pretty much did self-implode for most of that season, didn't we?
That
so
was bad.
Self-pulling. Mm. 2004-05, when we were relegated to Championship in the Nigel Worthington era.
Oh.
A, Dean Ashton. Oh, no. A, Ashton McKenzie and Huckabee. Or B, Ashton McKenzie and Francis. Or C, Patrick Moore. Or do I mean Roger Moore? Patrick Moore. Or Julian Moore. One of the Moores.
You've written that down and you're trying to make it... you're trying to read a joke. I like that. Yeah.
Thank you, though, John.
Well done. Mm. So there was all obviously all joint up scorers.
Yeah, 7.
So is the difference between McKenzie or Francis?
No, Huckabee or Francis.
Huckabee or Francis. But McKenzie and Ashton were definitely.
Yes.
With 4
if
goals.
If you listened properly, instead of mocking me writing down a joke.
I'm going to go for this one. Ready? Huckabee.
Incorrect.
Oh.
Ashton McKenzie and Francis. They did all score 7 overall, but in the league, Huckabee did not score 7. So Francis did.
What do you mean in the league?
So league scorers.
But you can't add an extra...
Well, otherwise it'd all be exactly the same.
Well, those what I thought.
No, it isn't.
It is.
And we're talking about relegations. Question. You don't get relegated from the cup. So, incorrect.
You said the relegation season.
Going back to 94-95 now.
I'm not happy.
You're never happy. No. A, Ashley Ward. B, Jamie Cureton. C, your mum.
Oh, God. Ashley Ward.
Correct.
I used to want to be Ashley Ward.
I know. I remember that. You've said that before on
air. I used to like, you look like a builder.
How's that going? You haven't grown the hair out.
How's that going?
I mean, you're 34 now.
I'm going to be Ashley one day.
You've had 22 years.
I'm going to be Ashley one day.
You got nowhere near being him. 22 years.
I'm going to be on a ward soon, so...
Are you?
No.
You all right?
No.
So you've got 3 out of 4.
I've got an album coming out, by the way.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. We won't. 1984-85.
I was 3.
When we were relegated to Division 2 from Division 1.
The third league.
Was it A?
Go on.
John Dean.
What's wrong?
B, Robert Rosario.
Oh, God.
C, the elephant that did that poo on Blue Peter.
You went with Robert Rosario,
mm-hmm.
Who didn't even play during then. John Dean.
All right, I didn't know how good your knowledge was for that then. What,
I can't believe it. You put someone who's like 8 years later, who didn't play like nearly 10 years later.
Robert Rosario was there then.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
In the early 80s.
Not, well, it's mid-80s, isn't it?
You said 83.
84, 85 when we were relegated.
He was not. He did
yes,
not,
he was.
He didn't.
Yes, he was.
I'm going to say he wasn't. He was around 99. Oh, hang
on. No, let's Google that now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go on, you carry on. You ask me the
question. We can edit this.
I'm not going to edit it. You just keep going.
Okay.
You might have been... Robert.
We keep it W-I-K.
Rosario. Here we go. Didn't look like a footballer. Look at his big fat nose. I like him. So, we signed him from... He made his league debut for Norwich in 1984.
There you go then. 1984-85.
Yeah, but he's not going to be top scorer. He only signed him. He was a crappy old player.
Well, Dean Ashton was top scorer when we signed him.
Right.
So, in conclusion, you were wrong there, right?
All right, I'm wrong, yep. But I was also right because I got the question right.
So, stop Wikipedia now. Okay.
89.
So, you've got to get this one right to win.
I mean, I've got two more questions right.
One more. This is the last one.
Oh, my God. This is tense.
1980, 81.
Have you got some music?
Before we were born.
Wait, let me play this. I'm going to use it later on.
Okay.
Oh, shit, wrong one. And there is the wrong
go
one.
Go on, let's go on.
Oh, sorry, go on.
1980, 81.
Yeah.
Was it A, Justin Fashanu? B, Martin O'Neill? C, Susan Kennedy from Neighbours. I nearly went for Helen Daniels.
You should have gone for Helen Daniels.
But I would have thought that would have alienated some of our listenership.
Because she had a stroke, and you know people who stroke.
Did she have a stroke?
Yeah.
What, in the show?
Yeah. And in real life, I Googled about 2 weeks ago.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then when you get on Wikipedia and you click on something, you click on something, you click on something.
Yeah.
I searched for Bounce the Dog, and she was owned by Mike. And Mike was the...
Mike?
Yeah. Right. In big ears.
Oh, yeah, that was Mike, yeah. Big luggy guy.
Yeah. What was the question?
Justin Fashanu or Martin O'Neill or Susan Kennedy from Neighbours?
Justin Fashanu.
Is that your final answer, John?
It's my final answer.
Correct.
Yay!
John's won.
Again.
And you retake the lead. That was good, wasn't it?
It was good. Well done.
Yeah.
I like those hilarious answers, even though Rob Rosario was one of them, because that's a shit answer. It's like...
I couldn't really think of anyone else who would have been up front for us then. So
Martin Peters?
No.
Well, you put fucking Rob Rosario in.
Yeah, but Martin Peters wasn't with us in 84, 85. Anyway, should we move on to the last bit, which is where we talk about the old Swansea away?
Yeah, because this is called Home and Away Part 2.
Norwich City Games, a Carrow Road, and somewhere that's not Norwich, home and away.
Fucking get on with it.
All right, mate, we're getting on with it. God, what's wrong with that bloke?
Very pushy, isn't he?
Isn't he? Hmm. So, we've got Swansea. We've got a win.
We have, really. I mean, because we've got Man City after that, and then we've got the March of Doom, where we play Newcastle, Sunderland and Watford, I think.
Right,
we?
This is it. You are Alex Neil. Do your Alex Neil face. Oh, that's good. Right, you're in the dressing room. You've got Martin Peters on the left-hand side. You've got Robert Rosario. No, you've got Andy Thingy and Jimmy and Keith and Bob all looking at you.
Yeah.
What are you going to say?
I'm going to say, go out there, boys.
He's Scottish.
Get there, boys.
Oh, God.
God. I've already done the entire British Isles on this show.
Exactly, that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah. Actually, Ireland isn't part of the British Isles. I'm sorry if I offended anyone there. In fact, I probably offended everyone with the dreadful accent. It's just because I can't do accents.
Sounds like I've got a hernia.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know.
Which most Scottish people
have. So let's.
Have.
The big question that everyone's been burping about, who would you play up front against Swansea?
Jimmy Bamford.
Old Bamswinkle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why would you do that?
Well, you've got to give him a go, mate. You've signed him. You've got to give him a go.
That's what people said about Lafferty.
You've got to give Lafferty a go. You signed him. You've got to give Lafferty a go. He's just centre forward.
We literally heard that on the way to the ground yesterday.
We walk in and we heard Matt goes, you've got to put Lafferty up front. He's a centre forward.
He's shit as well, though, isn't he?
He can also play on the left wing.
Yeah, that was word for word.
Word from word.
Mm. So you'd go Bamford. Why would you go Bamford?
Just to freshen up a bit.
Got to be more than that, though, isn't it?
I would play Bamford.
That was your response to it. You've got to have more than that.
Nope.
I would play Bamford. Okay. It's a tricky one, because Jerome is generally, although I thought he was actually quite all-round poor, but he was lots of effort, but his movement through the middle was a bit shitty. Like Wes and Redmond all often had to check their runs because they had no Jerome in front of them wasn't making those runs.
Our good friend Claire Thomas.
Yeah.
I said on Twitter that 95% of what Cameron Jerome does is quite good.
His movement,
his pace, his strength, getting in the channels.
Mm.
If he had the finishing, which is the most important part of a striker, he would be brilliant for us.
Yeah.
But he's got the most important tiny part missing.
Mm.
I thought it was a good point.
I wouldn't say it's 90% brilliant either, though. 95% brilliant.
I would.
Because I don't think he's great. His movement through the middle.
I'm paraphrasing.
That's why Alex Neil preferred grabbing in that for that, because his movement in the middle is better, whereas Jerome's movement sort of across the line is better and is really good, wins the flick-ons, and he's really quick. Like yesterday, he looked properly quick.
He blasted. He was about 4 or 5 yards behind Cahill and he went past him.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's the thing. That's what I love about him. When he does that, he looks a beast.
Yeah.
But then you put him in front of a goal and he farts around and...
Yeah, he doesn't look like a beast. He just looks like a little sort of squashed old bug, doesn't he, instead? with hairy feet. But I don't know. But it's difficult because he suits that system really well. And Bamford hasn't quite got the pace. But Bamford showed at Middlesbrough, at least, he takes most of his chances. Because Middlesbrough were quite a defensive side last season.
Yeah.
Didn't create a huge amount of chances, and he took most of them. But he doesn't sort of win the flick-ons as well as Jerome, and he hasn't got quite the pace of Jerome. But he can hold it up, though. So he can play in that lone role.
I've changed my mind. Because he has that long, like, under top that makes his that go around his hands.
Yeah, no, you got a point, like actually. Yeah.
Wear gloves. If you're chilly, wear gloves. Not those stupid, like, finger love.
Yeah.
Put, stick your thumb through things.
Put a hat on.
Mm-hmm. It's like, you remember cycling shorts?
Do I remember them?
Yeah.
Well, like people still wear them?
Yeah, no, but I used to wear them underneath.
Dean
Ashton used to wear green ones.
Mm.
It's like that, but for a top.
Yeah, you can't start a man cycling up like that, tops. Can you? Yeah.
Cycling shorts, cycling tops. Does it work, does it?
What were they then?
Cycling. It should be cycling short. It should be short.
What are we talking about?
Short or trousers. It could be trouser. I don't know. Go on, carry on.
Undergarment?
No, it's, I'm wrong.
Okay.
I'm trying to defeat the English language, but I'm failing.
What do you think we do the same thing where we do the five at the back? We're going to do that again?
I hope so. I like it.
Good.
Because it gives Pinto less chance to defend, which is good. And it gives Brady less chance to defend, which is good.
Leaves us a little bit exposed in the middle sometimes with poor old Tetti and Housen. Overrun at times by Fabregas and Oscar and whoever.
And also,
other players.
Close is left-footed, so he can push over to the left, naturally. Ryan Bennett is right-footed, and he can push over to the right. Oh, I was quite interested that he came off. He was the one that got substituted.
She'll suggest the pecking order, doesn't it?
2 seconds after, Closer went down.
Yeah, he did. I hope he's all right as well. Because he looked, he was hobbling for the rest of the game as well.
His groin popped, probably.
Ooh.
Yeah. Mm. So what's the score going to be?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Swansea, I've noted it down with my pen. I have 1 win, 2 draws and 2 defeats. This is before tonight's game.
Thank God you're using your pen again.
Under Gwydolyn. Gwydolyn. Over there, under their new French chat manager. So their form is also pretty poor. It's not like he's come in and there's been a big managerial bounce, as you often get. So, and it really is a bit of a must win, isn't it? But we've been playing well, and it just, if we play well and then can't quite get that win, then you can just see the confidence draining away.
It's very cliche. There's a difference between us and Leicester. Leicester played poorly, got 3 points. We played really well and didn't get anything.
Yeah.
You can't keep doing that.
Whereas Leicester, at least they've got the players to punish, to when they're playing poorly, they can still win. I don't think Swansea have. But, and they scored shit all goals as well. They've scored like 24 all season or something, Swansea. So I'm going to go. Ooh.
You just gone, haven't you?
I'm going to go 1-0. We're going to win 1-0. It's going to be horrible. I'm at a wedding, actually, so I'm missing this game, which is a bit of a relief in a way. But I think we're going to win 1-0.
You're going to come on Twitter afterward and give your opinions like you saw the game, like you always do.
Not now I've admitted I'm not seeing it.
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
What about you? What are you going for?
I'm going to go for 1-0 to Norwich.
Ooh, we look at that. We've gone for the same thing.
Because I'm going to a wedding. And I think Cameron Jerome didn't do the chances. And Bamford scored a lot of goals for Middlesbrough last year when they were quite defensive. And what's wrong?
You know those bits where we sort of talk about editing it out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Making it sharper.
Yeah.
Is this what you're practicing now?
Just my opinion.
Okay.
Just because your opinion is the same as my opinion doesn't mean it's wrong.
It is a good opinion, mind you.
It's a good opinion.
Yeah. So we're both going for wins.
Well, yeah.
I can't remember the last time we did that.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time we're going for that.
You're just repeating me now?
No, I'm not just repeating you now. So there we go. That's the end of the podcast.
We'll be back.
Oh, what happened?
Got my mic stuck on the stubble.
What a fantastic end to the podcast.
Thank you very much for listening, everyone.
Thank you very much. I hope you're all right. I hope you enjoyed the game.
Who?
I'm not talking to people who have watched it after the Swansea game.
Right? Oh, okay, you're right.
So I hope you enjoyed the game. It was good, wasn't it?
It was great, yeah. 6-0.
If you haven't seen the game, pause it, go back 15 seconds, watch the game, and now play. Hello. Oh, have a nice glass of beer. You deserve it on a Saturday. This has gone really weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's all right. We're talking about time travel.
I don't know. What's that? Back Pass of the Future?
Back Pass of the Future. So who was your knob of the day?
Thinking it.
Quick. You've got 11 seconds to think of it. Your knob of the day.
Knob of the day.
music run out now and you haven't given me a knob of the day.
Knob of the day.
Poke him, make him feel happy.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.